I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
So what made you pick this little blurb, Manus?
It's because it struck me about
Ronk. Ronk.
Whose phone's on?
Oh, that's mine.
Yeah, you think?
My brother's coming over early to play with the kids. I just thought I'd share that.
Oh, thank you.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Is there something? Do you want to tell me why
no,
you chose
No, it's just I'm not a parent, but I've heard some people talk when they are expecting have these expectations out of their kids, and because their kids aren't doing these phenomenal, fantastic things, that there's something wrong.
Yeah, okay, you know? So Janice handed me this literally like two paragraphs with this big headline, though. What's the magic formula for raising a happy, successful kid? But it doesn't say much. It says every child has at least one, quote, superpower. If that superpower is math, be thrilled. But instead, parents will say, all my daughter wants to do is talk to her friends about problems. What can I do? Advice, you don't do anything. She might grow up to be a psychologist. And so basically it says, like, encourage them, right, with the things that they love. But more importantly, don't try to mold them into the adult you want them to be. Which is interesting because I always wished I'd played an instrument. And, you know, I had this fantasy that, like, we would, you know, Heidi played piano and I had this fantasy that, like, we'd get a piano and Lou would be the next Alicia Keys, you know, because I love music. And I find that music is, like, the closest thing to godliness. Like, I think it unites people. It touches everybody. It's, in theory, if you were to buy into, quote, string theory, the whole universe is nothing but harmony. I had this fantasy that she, you know, she could not care less about that piano. Not interested.
Sorry.
Doesn't want to play. No, absolutely no. I mean, I've heard her sing. It's terrible. It is terrible. I mean, no, it's absolutely tone deaf. And that's that, you know? And I'm like, all right, well, she was painting something the other day and it all became sort of like just brown, right? She was finger painting and it was like, and I looked at it and I was like, what a tremendous use of color. And my mom goes, sweetie, she's probably not going to be artistic, sort of like us. Cause we have my mom and I can't draw a stick figure. And she's like, I noticed that a long time ago. And
I can't draw and I have no musical skills, which I always wished that I could be. And it's like, that's not what I do. That's not, I'm not good at it. And I thought, all right, you know, she's not, she does not have a bend for art. She doesn't. And she doesn't so far seem to have a bent for, she loves music, but I've yet to like, I don't know that she'll be the next American Idol. So, and that's fine. And what I think that resonated with you about this, and what I think also resonates with me about it, is a lot of times we try to fulfill things that are unfulfilled in our kids. If we, you know, didn't make it to the major leagues, our son's going to make it to the major leagues, and we put all this pressure on them. One thing that I always find interesting, though, is parents are always telling me how special their kids are, like how they said their first word at 7 months old, or how they kick a ball, or like, it's interesting that a kid has to be better than other kids at something in order to brag about them.
Oh, interesting.
My kids are average. You know, Phoenix is talking at an average pace. You know, he's physical, but I can't imagine he's more physical than a little boy his size. You know, I mean, they're normal kids. Like, there's not a moment where I'm like, dear God, we've got a prodigy on our hands. And like, and I kind of had that talk with Heidi the other day, and I was like, I wasn't a prodigy. There's never a moment where my parents were like, she's exceptional. Beyond the norm is what I mean. You know, all kids are exceptional. We're all exceptional human beings, and we all have our unique calling. But I just have found that, like, I always have to listen to a slew of crap about how this kid started potty training at 2 days old, or this kid said their first word in the womb, or this kid, you know, can play Let It Be at 7 years old. It's like, really? I mean, and that's what that parent will talk about. And I go, wow, okay, you know. But I've never felt like I had to find some sort of something that was outside of the norm to be proud of my kids.
Because that would mean you would be searching for it. That's you, Jillian. No, I mean, that would mean you're trying to put something on Lou, let's say. And like, I always remember when I was taking college, and on the, they had these big grounds, and there was a guy with his little tiny little boy, the tiniest little boy, and he's got the little kids like swinging the golf club, and the dad's strutting around, and I just thought, is that kid really enjoying himself?
You know, it's funny. We started Lou and she with horses, right? At two, I mean two, newly home. And she loved it. And everything was horses this and horses that and horses sheets and horses shirts and horses socks and horses underwear and horse videos on YouTube. And now she's almost four and everything's Katy Perry, Katy Perry, Katy Perry, Katy Perry, Katy Perry. And she loves her little pony, but, like, it's not the same. And I was like, my first black Olympian hunter jumper, you know? And I was like, I'm so excited. And I was like, we're going for the gold. And, you know, she's like, she likes it, but she's not obsessed the way she was obsessed. And I kind of was like, and she's really good. I mean, you'd go out there and be like, wow. But I don't know if she'd be any different than another kid who started at two. I mean, she's very good for 3.5. But at the same time, there was a moment where I was like, I don't know that we'll be going to the Olympics. Like, because she just doesn't, it's no longer like her obsession. It's something I wished that, you know, because I started riding when I was 13 and all this stuff happened, and, you know, my dad got rid of the horses, and when I was older, I used to have these dreams that we still had the horses, and I would wake up and from a dream where I had still had my horse that I had when I was like 10, 11, and 12, and so when I got back into it, obviously at a much older age, and there's no, I'm not a sportswoman when it comes to horses, you know, I it's too late, like, I, you know, I'm not gonna be competing in any shows or what have you. And I had wanted that for her because of my own regret of like, oh, had it all worked out differently. But, you know, she just likes to ride her little pony when she's, you know, it's like, it is what it is. It might not be the Olympics, she might just like to ride horses.
And it's a great, but when you dig a little more, isn't part of it gives you guys a bond. It gives you and Lou something that you guys can maybe just do that's outside of the rest of the family. It's like your thing, your bonding.
Well, it's funny because you know who's become really obsessed with it is Phoenix.
And he's the one now that's playing with all her horse toys. And he's the one that's like, Buzz, Buzz, Buzz. Like, he gets super excited. And, you know, I'm like, all right, whatever. And I try to just, I really try to go with the flow more. And you know what's interesting about my parents? They didn't give a, to the point that I regret it a little bit. They didn't give a crap. They never had me in music lessons. They never had me, like, and I grew up being like, I was never good at anything. I've never been good at anything. And I looked back now and I think maybe that's a good thing because they didn't care. They didn't care if I played the piano. They didn't care if I spoke two languages. They didn't care. You know, they were of a different generation. They were just like, well, you know, we love her and we feed her and she's fine. But there was no pressure to be exceptional.
To be anything.
They didn't care. I mean, like, quite honestly, I wasn't a great student. And they didn't really care. I mean, they cared, like...
Yeah, I think you're using the wrong words. I think saying they didn't care sounds negative to me, whereas I think they allowed you to be who you
they
were.
Yeah, there was never the conversation of, why'd you get a B and not an A? They didn't care. You know, for whatever the right word was, it was like... And my mom would be like, well, she's not a student. And I was not a student. It was really hard for my mom because she really wanted me to stick with college because my mom, you know, is a PhD and all of that and is such an incredible student. And my dad actually was a terrible student. God knows how he got through law school, you know, by breaking every rule under the sun. And my dad was like, oh, she's a crap student. I was a crap student, too. And he just didn't care. He just did not care. I mean, they cared enough. Like, they didn't want me to get kicked out of school. If I was getting Fs, they were like, oh, geez, what's the matter? And I would always get Fs in math and chemistry because I hated it and had, you know, ADHD. And I'd have to go to summer school and get a C to get through it. And it's like, you know, they just, it's kind of interesting. So there was no pressure on me, which I look back now and there's a part of me that's like, God, I'd always loved the piano. I wish that they had gotten me piano lessons, but I never asked. And it wasn't like they're like, she's got to play an instrument, and she's got to speak several languages, and she's got to be cultured. And by the way, I mean, I ended up doing what I'm meant to be doing and finding it very organically, and there's no doubt that it's like this was what I was supposed to do with my life. So I think there's not that, again, you're right, Janice, it's not that you shouldn't care, but... Maybe we should remove our expectations and allow our kids to sort of blossom. It's like if she doesn't want to do horses anymore, she doesn't want to do horses anymore. And Heidi was forced to play the piano and she can play amazingly and never plays because she's still pissed about the fact that she had to sit for 11 years and play the piano.
See, isn't that interesting? How? Yeah.
And I'm so jealous because I would give anything to be able to play the piano.
Yeah.
Because I love music so much. And so, you know, we sort of decided that, like, we'd like them to always be exposed to music, but they can play whatever they want to play. And then we'll see how that goes.
And it's like you offer them the class. Like, it's like what you did with Lou. You offered her the horses, and you know what? So you offer them the classes. If they bite, they bite.
They bite,
I don't know.
No, but I think that's good. And then there's not that expectation also, and the pressure of the expectation. Because it's also like, oh, well, then a kid's not going to want to ride horses because they're going to be terrified that if they don't get the gold medal, you'll be disappointed or upset.
I think there's a lot to be said for that.
Yep, I agree.
All right. Well, good little paragraph, Janice. I was like, I got to make something out of this paragraph.
Here, Jillian, here's a paragraph for you.
Now, I was like, where's the article?
Ready, set, go!
So, we're always working to find fitness segments that are fresh, which is challenging because, quite honestly, I feel like we've talked about a lot of stuff that's current, and I don't want to bore you with redundancy. I mean, I'm sure I bore you in many other ways, like blabbering on, but redundancy is something I try to avoid. So, I saw a little survey about the most annoying gym habits.
Oh.
Yeah. And I thought I would share it.
Sure.
So you can be sure not to be that guy
person,
or gal,
yes.
Right? That person, although I am guilty of a few of these, which makes me feel like a jerk. But the first one is talking on your cell phone.
Oh. Yeah.
That drives you crazy.
It drives me nuts. You do in the gym?
Here's
not when you're working out.
Sometimes. Okay, so here's what I do. Occasionally, when I have a ton of work to do and I don't have time to get an actual workout in, I'll go to the gym and like get on the step mill and roll calls. So I can, because I know I have a ton of stuff to do. So I'll do phone calls while I'm doing my stairs.
Okay.
I know.
No, you're busy. I understand that.
I know. Look, it's not ideal. It's not an ideal workout. But I just kind of look at the people around me and I'm like, well, put your headphones in for God's sake. And you want to eat?
You know what it seems? It's like eating and watching TV, because then when you watch TV when you eat, you don't realize what you're eating. That's, to me, is like working out and talking on the phone, is you don't realize what you've.
I know.
You're replenishing your body.
I know. But it's an annoying habit. I agree. But it's just sometimes I have to work, so I'll be like, all right, it's better than nothing. So I'll do calls and emails on my phone while I'm doing the step mill. Oh. I agree. I know.
Yeah. No. You go ahead.
Do you ever get dirty looks because?
Yeah. Yeah. I bet. One trainer came up to me and I have a weird life though. Like, there is something to be said about being a quote famous person. You're definitely held to a different set of standards. Like, you know, she came up to me and she's like, can you talk on the phone outside? And I looked around and there was like nothing that said cell-free zone. And I was like, you know, here's the other problem is like when you are a public figure, you really are not in a position to get in a fight with strangers because it could end up on TMZ. So it's not like I could be like, hey, bitch, step off. There's not, who are you? You know, you can't do that. It's like it'll get out and wait, you know, someone will take it. So I was like, oh, for God's sake. But it's like she would never have gone up to anybody else. It was like, I hate you and I don't think you're good enough to have the job you have. And so I'm going to come over to you and put you in your place. And it's interesting. I think people feel like that because celebrities get special treatment, there's a different set of rules.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to make mistakes. You're not allowed to do X, Y, or Z. I mean, I get, I've seen it all. Like, I can go to a restaurant in New York, and they'll send over, like, every dessert on the menu, and the manager will come up and give us the best table and a reservation, and none of it we deserve, right? You're like, we don't deserve any of this special treatment. You're like, this is great. But then at the same time, you go into a restaurant in L.A., and they'll give you the absolute worst table and treat you like complete crap because they want you to know that they don't care who you are and you're not special and this is L.A., and they'll go out of their way to make you feel – and you're just like, Jesus, man. And I'm like – and I'll say, I'm like, we called 5 days ago. It's not like I came in here with no reservation and, like, made a demand. Like, my assistant called 5 days ago. Yeah. And it's like, so you kind of get both of that stuff. It's a very bizarre sort of place to be. So I segued, but yes, someone has come up and said something to me. Now,
step off,
bitch. Come on, girl. It's like, you can't, you just can't engage. Like, the kind of things, like, I think I mentioned this once, like, Pink said it best. She's like, I miss being anonymous, because when people like cut me off or say these things, she's like, in the old days I would have been like, you know, spit on them, and now she's like,
yeah,
he swallows it because she can't. She'll get sued for millions of dollars or God knows what. So anyway, here's the next one. Don't look at other people's machines. Like, if you're running on the treadmill and someone's running on the treadmill next to you, don't look and, like, see what they're working out at. And I do hate when people do that. That's why they put, like, the towel over their screen, because it's like, who's working out harder? It becomes, like, this weird unspoken competition of who's working out harder. I thought that was kind of funny.
You know what? I never thought of that. That's why people put towels there. But I don't know why I never put two and two together.
I could never put a towel there, though, because I want to know exactly how much longer I have left.
Yeah, exactly.
To the second, I want to know. Wipe your sweat off of the machine.
That's so rude.
Like, especially, like, in spinning, when you go into a spin studio and there's just freaking... the bike could get up and crawl away. Wipe it down. Mother of God.
more of a man thing. Men sweat like that. But it's just like, dude, here's another one that I just personally find annoying. Don't take selfies in the mirror at the gym.
Just, no, people don't do that
all the time. It's called the gym selfie.
Oh, I've seen people go and stare at themselves. I've never, oh my God, that is just so foul.
Like, come on.
No.
Come on. Like,
I think we should do a whole segment on the psychology
of a selfie.
Of a selfie, fitness related selfies. I think there's a whole thing to be talked about.
I think I'm just a different generation because I don't do selfies. Selfies to me are like, again, I don't mean to knock anybody. I've taken like one with my kid, you know, but I don't take selfies. I find them to be really like obnoxious. Like, especially the one where it's like you get in the car and you're like, look at me in the car. I don't understand. Brittany used to do that all the time, and I would make fun of her constantly. I was like, hey, girl, thank God you showed me that picture of you in the driver's seat. I was wondering about that. It's so odd. My other favorite is the I'm fake sleeping selfie. Like,
who took the picture?
Yeah, but like, you know, like,
no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Like, in bed with the dog, hair tousled. Aren't I cute? It's like, what is... I don't know. I can be a real jerk about those. It's generational, I think. I don't get the selfie thing. I don't do that very often. But even though, like, you're supposed to on Facebook and stuff, like Ashton Kutcher and the kid that I love, James Franco, they do it all the time.
Well, it's become a competition in 2014 to see who could one-up the other person and take a more outrageous selfie.
I'm fine with that, I guess. But if it's like, here's me in the car. Here's me at the gym. I'm like, really?
Okay.
Cologne.
Yeah, cologne's
yucko.
Yeah, that's not good.
Oh my God. I don't know if that one bothers me at the gym more or if it bothers me in the elevator when you're gasping for air or waiting room. Fragrances are bad for you anyway unless they're natural oils.
But isn't it amazing how many places now are putting up we are a fragrance-free zone? Like, that amazes me.
Well, I didn't know that. Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, maybe it's in Canada. All the government buildings,
really?
They all
I
say
love
we
that.
Are a fragrance-free zone.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that. Here's another one. I find this super annoying. Slamming your weights to the ground.
Oh, yeah. Look how hard I'm working out.
Well, that's just, why do you do that? Like, I know Bob's thing is like, well, you're not supposed to waste any energy whatsoever getting the weight to the ground. Or maybe it's dangerous or something because it's like a lot of weight. So, like, the Olympic lifters just drop it to the ground. But I just feel like, I don't know, people get hurt doing that. And it's annoying.
On a sidebar,
you can't put it back down on the ground safely and quietly. Maybe you shouldn't be lifting it.
Or the people that lift and they do this with their feet. Like they do this, you know, like this tappy thing. It's like, dude, if you can't lift it, ask for a spot. Like, don't... I don't know. Maybe it's just the gym I go to. But they do the thing with the feet.
I think I did it this morning. I do! Dan was holding my legs and I wanted to kick through his gut. Because I was like, he was having me do chest press on a Smith machine, which was annoying me because, you know, I don't do weights like that. So it was aggravating the crap out of me. And then body rows. So you would do chest press and then he'd lock the thing up, the bar up, and then I would do body rows. And it's a body row, obviously, is like a horizontal pull up to a certain extent.
Yeah, like these. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
And I could not do another one, and I was like,
and I started like, tapping the feet.
Well, it's like, it's almost like you're trying to like jerk the weight up there.
I know.
And yeah, I know. I did that one today. I'm guilty of that one. All right, do not talk on the equipment. Come on. If people are waiting for something, get off.
That's not nice. That's
just
rude. I hate
when they have a conversation and then stop and chat on the machine, and it's just like, you're waiting for it. That one's annoying. And, okay. Here's another one that really aggravates people. The grunting and the groaning. Mm-hmm. Which I may also have done once or twice when it's really hard.
You've done a little grunt?
Oh, man. I'll be like, ugh! Like, Dan's like, soft breathing. And I like, but you feel like your spine's going to split in half. Like, I know I hate that too, because it seems overly dramatic, but
I can see it. I can see it if it's warranted, but there's some people who just grunt so that they want us to look at them.
Yeah, no, this was just awful. You know, and this was just awful. Yeah. And I was flailing through it. So no, I definitely did not want to be looked at. And I was really irritated and frustrated. So it was like an outlet for my frustration, but yeah, try not to do that. That's really cheesy and annoying. Re-rack your dumbbells in the right bloody spot. It's not that hard. Mm-hmm. If you have a 15, put it back where the 15 went, not where the 25 goes. Mother of God.
And if you're doing chest, put your plates back. Don't leave it for someone who wants to come and do it, and you leave, you know, two or three 45 plates on each side, and yeah. I have to take them off, and sometimes that's hard.
Yeah.
It's rude. It's rude not to replace your weights.
Now, this one came up, and I thought it was super funny because I actually have these moments, and then I try to ask myself why it bothers me. And so this one was, when all the gym treadmills are open and someone chooses the run right next to me, why?
That's so
and I have had the exact same moment where I'll look at the guy and just be like, what? And the reason I don't like it is because it'll be like some big guy and it makes the floor bounce. So it throws my running off, or the wick sweat across the thing on me, like off their elbow as their arm wings. And I'm like, bleh. And it's just like, or you know what? It's a movie theater thing too. It's like when the whole theater's open and someone sits right in front of you. I'm like, what are you thinking?
Yeah. So it's like a personal, it's a spatial thing.
What are you doing? Yeah. That one's just, yeah. You really have no right to be irritated about it. But it is irritating.
It's
like, if there are a bunch open, why? Yeah, cool. I'll always go out of my way to, like, move over to the other one or, oh, I don't know. That one's, yeah, that one, you really don't have a right. But, and then last but not least, this one does annoy the crap out of me. Try not to be late to a class, especially yoga.
Oh, I agree. Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Nuts.
It makes me bananas.
Yeah.
It's just like, because then everything has to stop and everybody has to move over their mats. And it's like, because you got to make room. And that's why it bothers me, because it's like, it stopped. And I said to Heidi, because like, we'll take this one class that is absolutely packed. And the teacher is that good. But it's like, at what point do you stop letting people in the class? It's packed. We can't move. Can't do form properly. Banging into one another. Can't, you know, it's like you can't even raise your arm up to the side. You're on top of each other. And it's like, at what point do you say, the class is full? Like, and they should get there early enough like we did. We got there 20 minutes early to take our class. Yeah.
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 I go to the studio where you have to buzz in because it's up a floor, so it's a building, and you're just all kind of getting into it. Beep.
Oh.
You know, it's just like, no, just look at the time and know if you're 5 minutes, don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I'll try not to kick my feet, Janice. God.
No, I understand.
God,
if you were trying
my
hard.
3-year-old calls and needs me, I'll be sure not to answer on the stepper.
Or,
don't want to upset you.
Oh, you see, but you didn't say it was your 3-year-old calling. You were doing business calls. If it was like a mommy going, oh, it's okay, baby, mommy's going to be home. I go, but if it's like, yeah, put 10 bucks on, you know, on pork bellies, then I'd be mad. Whew, I should have just shut up when I was ahead.
Put
okay.
10 bucks on pork bellies?
I don't understand that.
Like either. Is my trading stocks?
Yes.
You think I would A, buy pork bellies, and B, place a $10 buy?
I'm having a hot flash. We got to stop because I got to get some air really quick. They're brutal, telling you.
Whew.
It's like bad. Okay.
So we're on the road.
We are.
Oh, yeah. Sing me a little jingle, Janice.
On the road again.
Ding, 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 ding. On the road again. Okay, now we're going to get sued for licensing. All right. The Maximize Your Life Tour is on. We are coming to a city near you for an evening of inspiration and information and entertainment. Come. Honestly,
please come. It's an opportunity for us to have a direct connection and a dialogue. I want to show you everything that's going on behind the scenes on Biggest Loser. Yes, we're going to talk diet, and yes, we're going to talk fitness, but what we're really going to talk about is why you aren't activating on that information and why you might not be activating in other areas of your life. I want to help you blast through every obstacle and live the life that you dream and that you deserve. And you know I can do it because I've done it with hundreds of people on national television. Let me help you. Help me help you. Huh? Jerry Maguire. That's very my best good. Jerry Maguire.
Yeah. And that's what I thought as soon as you said that.
And I can. Yeah. I can. I will give you that light bulb moment. I'm that good.
Uh-huh. And we also wander your streets, too. Shopping. We buy things. We go into your stores.
We do. Yeah. So now we really need your $25.
You really can't
miss
her.
You got to go to... So go to www.jillianmichaelslive.com to buy tickets and get tour dates and find out what cities we're in. And I really do hope to see you there, all kidding aside.
Okay, we are back. And all the way from Michigan, this is Morgan waiting to talk to you.
Hey, Morgan, what's going on?
Hi. Well, my question is about shyness.
Okay.
And I would like to know, like, are people born shy, or is it more of, like, the environment kind of determines that?
Gosh. Okay, well, this is going to be a matter of opinion, let me be clear, because I'm certainly not an expert in the category, but my experience would say it's probably a combination of both. You know, I can say that as a mom, I've definitely noticed that kids are born to a certain extent with a temperament. There's no doubt about that. But I've also seen through a lot of the work that I do that kids can be conditioned to become shy. So, for example, there was somebody that I was working with who's particularly shy, and she had a memory of her mom saying, and I don't want to mention her name in the event that it's private, but let's call her Sally, right? And she had a memory when she's like, I used to talk all the time when I was little, and you know, and then she remembered her mom saying, and she goes, you know, my mom used to say, oh, don't tell Sally anything. She'll tell all the family secrets.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, my God. And she said it, like, to tell me how, to illustrate how talkative she was at one point, not under the awareness of how she had been kind of shamed for being talkative.
Yeah.
And so it can absolutely be a combination of both those things. I am a believer in individuals, human beings, being a product of nature and nurture, just through my experience with the work that I do and working on myself as well. But what is that your question, though? What is your question exactly about being shy?
Well, I was just looking for, like, any tips for overcoming shyness or kind of, like, branching out.
Well, why don't you start by telling me, how is it hurting you?
Well, I am almost going to graduate college.
Okay.
And I'm kind of thinking about, like, job interviews and, like, I'm, like, really terrified of, like, going on job interviews, and so maybe I would not apply for as many jobs.
It would tell me, like, what are you afraid of exactly?
I guess like they're not gonna, like, I'm not going to be able to express my opinion or, like, what I like myself well enough so that people will understand like, my opinion or.
Okay. So it's interesting. So your concern is not even necessarily about being rejected, but your concern is about the fact that your inability to communicate because you'll be so paralyzed.
Yes.
Okay, but then something is causing the paralysis. So is the paralysis being caused by your fear of being rejected, or that possibly you don't have the answers? Or tell me what makes you so afraid that it makes you shy. What are you afraid will happen?
I don't think that it's rejection, but
give me another circumstance where you might feel shy.
Well, we recently started classes, and so going in and, like, doing the introduction thing, okay. That is, like, the worst thing.
Why?
Like, maybe, like, I don't value my opinion, so, like, why would I, if I don't value my opinion and it doesn't funny. Have, like, a purpose, then why would they value it?
That's funny. Okay. It's somebody who shy said that to me once, about dinners, right? And it was a friend, and I was like, I don't understand. Why are you not saying anything when there's a group of people? And it was because she felt like her opinion wouldn't matter, or wouldn't have as much value, or the information that I could give about the answer would be better anyway.
Yeah.
So now, okay, so the... All right, let's talk about this a couple different ways. You know, with everything like this, there are two ways to come at a problem. The first is behavioral, which I sort of think is a band-aid. So, for example, and let's say you're eating too much food. Behaviorally, we could tell you, okay, tell the waiter don't bring bread. Clean out the cabinets. You can't eat what isn't there. You know, eat with a small fork. You know, eat on a small plate so it looks like you have more food. And all of those things help to manage a problem, but not fix it.
Yes.
Okay? So it's important to do that in the interim to help you manage the issues that you're dealing with. So something that I might suggest to you, first of all, would be to prepare. Because when you prepare for something, you're more confident. So if you know that you're going into a job interview, then what I want you to do is to research the company so that you feel like you've got go-to answers. So you're prepared and you feel more confident. So you know, okay, this company is about this and their mission statement is this and, you know, their goal for the future is that. And then, you know, rehearse it with a friend. So it's like you know everything you can about the company. You know how you want to sell yourself. You know the things you want to get across in the room. So you're not sort of fumbling and feeling insecure. And you've rehearsed it with a friend. So you're more prepared. And from a behavioral perspective, you will have had the validation of kind of going over it, feeling comfortable, like you have the answers, like you won't be fumbling for answers.
Yeah.
And these kinds of things will help you cope in those situations. That way, when you go into the room, and by the way, after you do this kind of, either way, right, you go in and you're a big failure. Well, my answer is, you've been through the worst of it. There's nowhere to go here but up.
Yeah.
You know? And then the other answer is, you can go in and it could go fine. And you could be like, well, that wasn't so bad at all. So either way, every single time you kind of face down a fear, it helps you get that much more comfortable with the concept.
Yeah.
So behaviorally speaking, get as informed as you can. Practice and rehearse the answers. Do it with a friend that you feel comfortable with. So you're better prepared and go into every situation knowing, for the most part, as much as you can. If you're going into class, you know, you need to introduce yourself. Like, think about, what do I want to talk about ahead of time? So you feel like, okay, I feel like this has value. I've done homework on it, and I feel validated. Now, with that said, the deeper work, and this is the same thing with eating, right? If we're using the eating analogy,
mm-hmm.
I might be able to remove the food from the cupboard. I might be able to give you a smaller plate. But at the end of the day, somebody is 100 pounds overweight, not because they love Twinkies.
Yeah.
Okay? There's something else going on. So what we need to look at is, the bigger question is, why do you think that your opinion doesn't have value? And that's where the deeper work lies for you, honey. So I've given you like a little practical action plan, right?
Yeah.
Now, let's ask the bigger question. Why do you think your opinion doesn't have value?
I guess when I was younger, I started competitive gymnastics when I was 5.
Wow.
And I did it for 7 years. And I feel like the environment was just, like, really controlling. And you didn't really have, like, a say about what you were doing.
Okay.
And so, like, it was always whatever they said you did. And I wasn't allowed to, like, share my opinion. My opinion really didn't matter because they were just telling me what to do and I had to do it.
This is so fascinating to me, only because, again, the person who I've been talking about previously has had the same experience where her wants and opinions didn't matter in the family dynamic. It was the parents wear the highway.
Yeah.
And I'm finding this very enlightening because I'm starting to see a real theme. Okay, so that happened. Were there other areas of your life where you experienced that? Besides gymnastics?
Not really, no.
What were things like with your parents?
Good. Like, I really can't complain about them.
No. That wasn't the question. I'm not asking you to complain. People think that if they don't say their parents were perfect, they're ungrateful, they're this or they're that. No parents are perfect. And no dynamic is perfect. No matter what you do, you know, there's going to be issues. Kids are going to grow up with issues. So, in the family dynamic, did you feel your opinion really mattered? Or did you feel kind of like the rules were the rules and things were the way they were? Or did you feel sort of shushed? Or when you think about feeling shy, did you feel kind of shamed into shyness at home at all?
No, I don't think so at all. I just feel like gymnastics was like my life, and so I remember more about gymnastics than I do about like home.
I get that, but okay, part of the thing that you're going to need to work on, because the reality is that I think if you were encouraged more in a certain way at home, it might have combat whatever it was you were going on, what you were dealing with in gymnastics. So if you'd had a greater sense of self instilled in you, it would have helped you counterbalance what you were going through. I've met Gabby Douglas. She's not shy.
Yeah.
Okay? So there's more to this. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I think you need to think about, okay, you remember from gymnastics, and that's significant. But there's something else going on in your background that has made you feel, for one reason or another, like your opinion didn't matter. And did you ever talk to your parents about how you felt about gymnastics? Was it ever a conversation? Did you ever drive things in the household?
Well, I remember like 3 years before I quit, like I really wanted to quit then.
Okay.
And like I felt like they had already spent so much money and I had already spent so much time that I needed to give it more time to kind of decide if I really needed to quit or if it was going to get better.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. And that's okay. So I'm going to tell you right now that there is an inherent dynamic that is not intentional in any way that exists in your background beyond the gymnastics that has created, again, when I say not intentional, it doesn't mean your parents didn't love you. It doesn't mean they're bad people. It means that there was something going on and that you feel afraid to assert or express yourself, sweetie. So just the fact that you were unable to quit gymnastics because you were afraid to either disappoint your parents or whatever it might be, you got to get to the bottom of that dynamic and work through what is so terrifying for you about it.
Okay.
And both things need to happen at the same time. So it's like while you're practicing, you're working the steps of like getting informed and practicing your interviews and preparing ahead and, you know, rehearsing what you have to say and forcing yourself to introduce yourself to one new person a day, smile more at strangers, you know what I mean? Like hold the door at the coffee shop. Like, sure, I can give you all that stuff and that will help over time. But the root of the matter here is that you ultimately feel like your opinion doesn't have value.
Yeah.
And that is what you've got to start looking at and dealing with. And my advice is, how you sound young. How old are you?
21.
21, yeah, you are young. Okay, but there are a lot of great therapists that are in the process of getting their hours. And they have low fee sliding scale counseling that's like $15 an hour. I highly, highly recommend that you do a little self-exploration into these things. Because if you deal with this now at 21,
yeah,
I mean, it's so much better to do that now instead of 40 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, sweetie? It's going to require... these things are never easy. That's the problem. Nobody ever wants to kind of unpack this baggage because it's painful.
Right.
But the reality is, as you get older, the baggage gets heavier. And there's no way out of this. There's only through this. And I people think, like, if I don't deal with it and I go into denial about it, but the problem is that the symptoms it creates in your life will only become harder for you. So I really recommend doing some counseling and trying to get to the bottom of where this feeling originates from, because I guarantee you that you have taken on, this is fairly textbook, from a human perspective, not to say your problem is textbook.
Mm-hmm.
My point is that a lot of times issues with self-worth and self-esteem come from us internalizing somebody else's issues of worth and esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can kind of identify and recognize that pattern, you're able to go, wow, this wasn't about me at all. It was about my mom's lack of control, or my mom's, you know, feeling like she never fulfilled her destiny, or I'm just giving you random examples.
Yeah.
But it allows you to stop internalizing somebody else's issues and start to reclaim your voice, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so just think about it.
Okay.
All right. And by the way, for somebody who's shy, I thought you did great with the whole call. I thought you did. I thought you did fabulous. That's a really big step.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep doing stuff like that.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, sweetie. Go get those job interviews. Go after it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, Morgan.
Bye.
Whew. Oh, God. You know, I had this talk with my shrink recently, because there was a friend who's older, 40, and I couldn't help her. And we went in circles and in circles and in circles, and she was like, why can't I get out of my own way? And why do I keep dating jerks? And why do I keep sabotaging myself? And why? And, you know, I was like, listened, and, you know, I know that these things have themes. Mm-hmm. So people engage in destructive behaviors because it affords them something. So I always try to figure out, all right, what is it? Where's the origin, and right. What is it affording you? So after talking with my friend for a fair amount of time, I came to get an impression. One of the reasons is that the dynamic with her mom had not fulfilled her goals and her dreams in life. And so it was always like, oh, you know, why don't you give up the ghost? Move back, you know, she lives in a small town in Canada, not Andy, so don't get the wrong idea. Move back to Canada, like, give up the ghost, get out of California, like, stop dreaming, you know what I mean? And
yeah. And
I realized, I was like, oh my God, here's what this is affording you. You feel like if you actually did make your dreams come true, your mother would be so jealous and so resentful that she would abandon you. Can't say that that's real. Maybe it is.
Yeah, but that's an interesting take on it.
Maybe it is, by the way. Maybe that is what would happen.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons that it is so hard to get to the bottom of these things and to give them up is because of, A, what they afford you. So in her mind, it helps her hold on to her mom, which in reality, right, you know how I always say when you act to avoid the thing you fear the most, you create it?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, here's the irony, girl. You're going to get so resentful towards your mom, you're going to create a distance with her anyway. And you won't be close when she leaves this world. But this kid, so I guarantee you it's more than gymnastics. But she's 21, and you kind of open the door, and she'll walk through it when she's ready to walk through it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? My shrink gave me that whole spiel. He's like, how many shrinks does it take to change a light bulb? You know this one?
No.
None. The light bulb has to want to change.
Right.
Right? And it's kind of like, it just... to say why this is so hard, because it's affording somebody something. It's preventing a fear that in their mind will occur. It's a defense mechanism of some sort. And that's why this stuff is so hard. And to look at it, by the way, to have to cope with, a family dynamic when you're like, no, my parents are perfect. Because we think that if our parents weren't perfect, how dare we be ungrateful?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Living with the black and the white is so much easier than living with gray, than loving your parents but seeing them as flawed. I found that after becoming a parent, though, it was so much easier because you see your own flaws and you work on them, but you understand, like, oh, my parents, they're just human.
Yeah.
And in their humanity may have messed me up, and that's what's made me interesting. And you don't have to be so angry about it, but you do have to work it through. Anyway.
No, it's good. That's, you know, and you know, we get a number of questions on shy, you know, shyness is not an uncommon thing. You're like, you know, it's, there's a lot of, and it's, you suffer with it. It is a suffering.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I've never suffered with it personally. I could probably suffer with it a little more, to be honest. But yeah, I know. Yeah. But that's because it comes from deep stuff, yeah. I believe. Anyway.
Oh, jeez. All right. Well, onward home, my sister. That's the new goodbye. Onward home, my sister.
Yeah. She's stranger and stranger. You want to say something, Jake, or you just look disgusted?
Onward home, my sister.
Onward home, my sister.
Listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.